in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse number 8 and verse number 9. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Just jot this down, because I would not want you to try to turn at this point. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God hath done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I want us to go back to Corinthians, and I want us to look at verse 9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. As I have endeavored to study, to dig out the true meaning of what Paul was saying here, because the word effectual here, the way it's translated and what that means to us today, is misleading unless you go back to the original text and look at it. What he is saying here is there is a door that is open to me. And this door is of such a tremendous challenge and such a tremendous opportunity that I feel compelled. I feel that I am obligated. I feel that I must lay hold upon that opportunity regardless of the price. It matters not what it costs me. It matters not how hard it may be, how difficult it may be, what suffering I may have to go through. These things are not in question. The thing that is before me is I must go through that door. I must step through that door. I have no choice. I cannot say, well, I'll shun it. I'll wait for someone else to do it. I'll leave it for someone else to take over. I cannot do that. I must lay hold upon it. I must wrestle this thing through. I must go through this door, regardless of the price. And that's exactly where I feel the church is today. There has never been a door of opportunity open unto the church like the door of opportunity is today. There has never been an hour that the church has had the privilege that it has today. The opportunity is there. The harvest field is ripe. The world is standing with arms outstretched begging. And that's never happened before. Never in the history of man has that happened. Never has there been a door so wide open. It's frightening. Literally, to me, it's frightening at times as I look at it. And I see the tremendous responsibility. I see the awesomeness of it. Until I stand back and sometimes I say, God, why me? Why do I have this responsibility? Why is such a load laid upon the church of this hour? And yet I realize it's a tremendous honor and a tremendous privilege, not just for me, But every one of you that sit on that pew this morning, you are an honored person that God would allow you to live in such a day and to stand before such an open door. The opportunities, the privileges, the challenge, the anointing of God. There is no hour that you can compare this day with. There just is nothing you can compare it with. Go back to the book of Acts and try to compare it to the book of Acts. And you can to a limited degree. But you really cannot compare this day to even the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts was centered in one area. But never in the history of man has there been a worldwide revival. This is the first. You can't go back to history and compare it with anything. This is the first. Men everywhere, hungry for God. People who know very little about God or about the workings of God or about the Word of God are being used today in such a beautiful way, praying for people, people being healed, people being delivered, people being set free, individuals receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Where a few years ago, you conduct a crusade, and hopefully there would be a 4, 5, or 6 people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now then some of you have seen in the last 6 months in your living room more people than that baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's just no day like this. And the door stands wide open unto the church of the living God. As I sat here on the platform this morning, I had a wish for you. And here's what my wish was. Lord, I wish that every person who calls this their church home could walk under the burden that I have for one 24-hour period. That would be my wish. That would be the wish that you would feel the tug, the load, the responsibility. That you could feel what it is like to feel that you have been chosen to lead a people to reach a city for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people look and they say, oh boy, that's a great opportunity. Man, boy, what a golden opportunity. Well, you've got it made. Do I? Do you have it made? The door is open, but the price to walk through that door, the adversaries that stand on each side of that door, those that you're going to meet as you go through that door. Amen? Boy, we can stop back and talk about building a 5,000-seat auditorium and everybody will say, oh, I'll be glad when we move in it. But honey, who's going to take the bear and kill him that's standing over the top of that property where it can be built out there? See, it's not going to be built without blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of sacrifice. See, who's going to see that the gospel, it's one thing to talk about the gospel going forth and having 24-hour television. And I believe that will come. I believe the day will come that we'll have 24-hour television in this city of the gospel message beaming all the time. This city never goes to sleep. And we need the gospel message there when people wake up, when they come in, when they go to bed. It needs to be there. We need to reach this city with a message of Christ like it's never been reached before. And it's ripe. It's ripe under the harvest. And never has this city been riper to hear the message and to receive the message. And thanks be unto God, the door is open, but there are many adversaries. Hallelujah. I said to someone the other day, and while I'm thankful for God using me, yet I said very sincerely, it'd be okay with me if he wanted to give somebody else a responsibility. And I meant that from my heart. And yet I will not shun what God gives me to do. I will not back away from what God gives me to do. I won't run. I know when I'm where God wants me to be, and I know when God's talking to my heart. And I see in the Spirit this door that is open unto us. We can actually, the Christian church today, can actually dominate New Orleans. For the first time in the history of New Orleans, That possibility stands. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what people say. There are too many people today that's looking too hungrily after the answers, after the real solutions. Just like our brother so beautifully ministered in song. They are looking everywhere. Their lives are twisted and warped. Businessmen, professional people that are looking for the answers, and it's in Jesus Christ. And the one way to reach them, my friend, is not to bring them into a Bible study necessarily, and it's not to bring them into a church service, but their hearts can be conditioned by the preaching of the Word of God through the means of radio and television, and then it's going to break down the satanic forces that are holding them, and they'll be liberated, many of them, in the confines of their own homes. You say, Brother Gorman, but they've got to declare themselves. That's right. Nicodemus had to declare himself. The time will come that they'll come marching forth. The time will come when they'll come marching forth and say, we're going to be counted with those of the redeemed. Nicodemus didn't come forth till they crucified the Lord. And it was then that he came forth and helped with the burial of the Lord. The man in whose tomb that Jesus was buried, this man was a secret follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the hour of the occasion was there, he refused to turn his, and he marched forth. And I believe today that that's what's happening. I think the Church of the Living God has a responsibility that's far greater than a lot of people want to look at. There's more to it than coming to church and shouting and rejoicing and being prayed for and being slain in the Spirit. And all of that's beautiful, and I want it to continue. But there's more to it than that. There is a challenge before us to march out and to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. And friend, there are a lot of those strongholds we cannot get to any other way than through intercessory prayer and through the powerful media of television and radio to tear it down and to block the eye of the enemy that stands there defending those people and trying to hold them in bondage. But Jesus is going to give us the city. The door is open. Now that I'm going to make some predictions this morning that I've only done a couple of times in my ministry, but you mark this down and you'll remember it, because it'll come to be. If the church marches forth as she ought to, the time will come that Christians will be in seat of government in this city. Amen? That Christian people are going to be in seats of government in this city. I'm not talking about people who claim to be Christians and who can talk about the Bible when it's politically convenient for them. I'm talking about old boys that'll walk into a restaurant and bow their heads and pray and thank God. I'm talking about old boys that ask God every day to guide them and lead them and direct them. I'm talking about men that really live for God, not to go out and sip their cocktails on Saturday night and then go into some church on Sunday morning, think they're paying their religious duty. I'm not talking about that hypocrisy. I'm not talking about that. I believe the hour has come that the Christian gospel message is going to penetrate into the darkest corners of the pits of hell, to the high offices of political individuals, and bring them to their knees to serve the true and the living God. I can see no other way that this gospel can be heard around the world unless it's heard in every nook and every corner. And some of those men are just as frustrated as Paul was when he came, or Narda, or you, or you, or you, or you. They're just as frustrated. They need an answer. They need an answer. They need somebody who will pray with them and who will believe with them. And they're willing and ready to accept that when they can see the genuineness of it. And the church has a responsibility to show them. The church has a responsibility to show them. You have a responsibility on you like you've never had before. And I want you to know something. The eyes of the world is upon you. You think that the few Christian people that you know and the few members of your family are all that's watching you, but that's not so. You're being watched wherever you go. You're being watched by individuals everywhere, and they're watching your life to see what you're really made of, to see if this testimony, if this dedication, if this commitment will really hold up, to see if you'll stand the test and the pressures. Yes, as the messages in tongues and interpretation went forth earlier in the service this morning, there are going to be those this year that you're going to walk through critical times and difficult times. But know this, that the Lord's with you, and the Lord's holding your hand, and the Lord's guiding you, and He'll not leave you, and He'll not forsake you, and He will bring you unto triumph. He'll bring you unto victory. He'll bring you to a point that the name of the Lord will be glorified. Oh, the power of the church of the living God is more powerful than anything that exists. If we really believe the Bible, if we really believe that God is the great I Am, if we really believe that all things are possible to him that believe it, then let us believe that this year of 1978 shall be the year that multiplied thousands of people will bow before God and surrender their hearts and their lives to Jesus Christ. Either you believe that God shook that jailhouse door until the door swung open and the chains fell off, and Paul and Silas sit there in the darkness of that prison, they could see the candlelight on the desk of that old boy who was the keeper of the jail. And when he drew that sword and was about to kill himself, they screamed out and says, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." Do you believe that story to be true? Well, then God can shake City Hall till her doors rattle, honey. Amen. And God can shake any prison. And God can shake any man. And God can shake your unbelieving husband and your unbelieving kids and your unbelieving wife and your unbelieving mom and dad. God can shake their doors. We're not serving some mamby-pamby weakling. We're serving a God who is the great I Am, who invested his only begotten Son into a world that was steeped in sin, that he might show them that he loved them and bring men from darkness into this marvelous light of the gospel. Amen? A door of effectual is open to us. A door that you and I cannot pass by. A door that you and I cannot shun. A door that you and I will have to answer to God for if we don't walk through. Amen? I know some people say, well, you know, in our old church, they didn't preach like that. They didn't make us feel responsible. No, that's right. And they didn't pray for you when you was dying either. And they didn't cast devils out of you when you were possessed either. Amen? No, I'm not talking about a weakling. I'm talking about the same kind of gospel, the same kind that was preached from the day of Pentecost straight on through. And that kind of gospel caused entire cities to shake. Amen? Hallelujah? That kind of gospel made men sit up and take note that there is a real God. I'm not satisfied. I refuse to be satisfied with just a religious ceremony. I refuse to come to church on Sunday morning and have just a little service that tickles everybody's ears and make them feel good and send them on their ways saying, well, we've been to church today, so it's all over with. I want God to stir you up so till you can't sleep at night, that you fast, that you pray, that you hunger after God's word, that you feel compelled by the Spirit of God to lift up the name of Jesus, the only name that can set the captive free. That's the name we want lifted up. That's the name we want delivered unto all men. And that door is open. That door is open. I want to thank you beautiful people for responding the other night after that I preached Wednesday night. During the midst of the holidays, we had a number of people showed up that every phone was manned the next day. And you know what happened? Where when we'd been having 30 and 40 calls come in, there were 60-something calls come in the next day. The calls have been there all the time. There was just nobody to answer the phone. That's a crying shame. Amen. How do you know who's calling? How do you know who's listening to that? This past week, there was a nominal pastor from Pascagoula, Mississippi, call me up. He doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not his denomination. He may individually be turning that direction. But he says to me, he says, Reverend, I want to thank you for what you're doing. And he said, I plan my lunch hour every day that I go home and have my lunch while you're on from 12:30 to 1:30 so I can watch your program. Well, honey, I don't care who's watching it. It can be the priest. It can be the nuns. It can be the minister down the street. It can be an alcoholic. It can be a drug addict. It can be a prostitute. But if they sit there and watch it very long, the word of God's going to sink deep in their hearts. They're going to start believing the whole truth, and the Holy Spirit's going to come upon them, and they're going to become a Pentecostal. They may be a Baptist Pentecostal or a Catholic Pentecostal or a Lutheran Pentecostal. I don't care what they are, as long as they have the power of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Amen. The door is open. It's standing wide open for us to reach out to our city. One of the next goals I have is to tape every program we run every day and somehow pray with me that they will give me the time. Because they can do it. They're not running that tube anyway. From the time that Pat Robertson goes off at 1 o'clock that we just take up and go to 2 o'clock. Did you know there's a lot of drunks coming in at that time? Did you know a lot of people watched us when we was on the telephone and they said they watched us after 12 o'clock? Many people have stopped me and said, I saw you. I came in around midnight and flipped on the television and I saw you. A lot of people come in from the parties. They can't sleep. They flip on the tube. And if Jesus is there, He can meet them at 2 o'clock in the morning just like He can 2 o'clock a day. Amen? There's no difference with Jesus. Is that right or wrong? You know I'm telling you the truth. The door's open. It's wide open to us. Heaven forbid that we fail to walk through it. Amen? Hallelujah? You know what I'm feeling for the first time? I'm feeling more firmly than ever before that every place that the sole of your feet shall trod, it's yours. Take it. And I believe that God has called the church for this hour. Now, when I say the church, I don't mean just this church. There are a lot of people out there that's never been to this church that pray for us, that support us, you know. But they got a pastor who's not as stupid as I am. He won't get on the boob tube every day and bawl and squall and plead with people to give their heart to Jesus. Because after all, it's a sign of weakness to cry. They don't even believe you're supposed to cry. And they'd never be caught on the boob tube nowhere else talking in tongues. And the Holy Ghost come on Gorman, he'll talk on tongues on television. Or he'll pray for the sick or he'll cast out devils. You know, I know where the problem is. But those poor people out there, they're just as hungry as you are. And you say, well, Brother Gorman, what's going to happen to them? I'll tell you what's going to happen to them. We're going to keep feeding them and ministering to them. And they're going to help to minister to more people out there until we reach a city for God. That's what's going to happen to them. Amen. We're not just ministering to the people that's inside these four walls. I believe that God's called us up to minister to the city, the gospel of truth, the gospel of salvation. I believe that deep in my heart. Now, I realize some of the things I'm saying today that someone's going to criticize. But if I don't say it, they'll be criticizing you, so let them criticize me. Then you can rest another week. But I want you to know that I believe what I'm saying to you today, that God has called us to reach out to the city. We shouldn't think of just a segment of the city. We shouldn't think of just a class of people in the city. I don't care if they're black. I don't care if they're white. I don't care if they're illiterate. I don't care if they're professional people. It doesn't matter. They all got a soul. They all need Jesus Christ. And the same gospel is unto all men. And every man everywhere is going to burn in hell if he does not receive Jesus as his personal Savior. If God lets one person in heaven that does not receive Jesus, then God has just voided the death on the cross. Amen? And how can they know Him if they haven't been told about Him? Amen? How can they? They've got to know. They've got to know. Hallelujah. Colossians 4 and 3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I personally do not feel that we have to pray for God to open a door. The door is open. I do feel we have a responsibility to pray for the door of utterance, that the word can go forth. This is in the realm that we must. This is in the area that we must reach out. We must be able to speak the truth that we know will set men free. Hallelujah. If there's anything that I've learned in recent years, it's the power of the word alone. Amen. I've had people in my study, and as they would sit there, I just began to read the word. And I've seen hardened sinners begin to shake and tremble. Amen? And I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe this city is so hungry for God that if we had someone who would just go on television and just read the scripture for 30 minutes, that there'd be people who would listen. And there'd be people who'd be saved. That's how powerful this word is. How powerful. Sure, it helps when it is explained to them, when they're told what it means. Did you know that the only way men can be set free is to believe in that book? I don't care who you are. If you don't believe that book, you aren't free. That is the only way to freedom. That is the only path. When we pray that that door of utterance will be open, we're praying that God will enable us to get into positions and into places to minister to the masses. You know, I told you that I saw in the Spirit that I would give altar calls and at least 1,000 people would come forward for salvation. I haven't seen that yet, but I will. The night we was down at the New Orleans Theater for the Performing Arts, there was over 300 people came forward that night on the invitation. The day will come that we'll see 1,000 people or more that will answer the invitation to come forward to receive Jesus Christ. Now let me show you what is happening when we give forth the utterance, when the word goes forth. There are people who are hungry. They're dying for the lack of knowledge of Jesus. When I teach on radio, when I preach on radio, when Pat Robertson preaches on radio or television, when Charles Green is on there teaching the Word of God, when Jimmy Swaggart is teaching the Word of God, when the Word of Truth is going forth, it's going out into homes, a lot of these people, they don't really believe this yet, but they keep watching it because it makes them feel better when they watch it. It appeases their conscience. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I've talked to some of these people. Some of you are sitting here saved today because you started watching it and you got hooked. Every time they watch, every time they hear the word, their faith begins to rise a little higher and a little higher and a little higher and a little higher. And pretty soon their faith is going to come to a point that they're going to say, if God did that for Finley, if God did that for Smith, if God did that for Don Watley, if God did that for someone else, he'll do that for me. And they're going to rise up and they're going to come forth claiming as babies what rightfully belongs to them. And when they do, God's going to honor it and God's going to bless them and their lives are going to be changed. And I believe right now there is a harvest out there that is almost ripe enough, hallelujah, to bring in. I believe that it's almost there. That's why we've got to have massive meetings. We've got to have them to bring them under the preaching of the word, under the singing, and under the influence of other Christian people who can pray for them and bring them in to the harvest that is surely ours through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe that, brother.
I believe that. See, I see in the lives of people. I see what's happening. I see what's going on. Amen. I see it. And I know their faith is rising. Rising, rising, rising. Let me just show you a couple of things here. The people that are watching now and hearing now, who wouldn't tell anybody that they are, one of these days, the storm's going to reach them. You say, the storm? What do you mean, Pastor? Oh, you didn't know there's a storm headed your way? Got your name on it. You don't believe that? Go on living in a fool's paradise. When he gets there, you'll believe it. Everybody's got a storm headed your way. For the Christian, it is to test them. For the unbeliever, it is to knock everything away from them that they have trusted in. And they stand there with nothing. And then they're going to say, you know, I wonder if that guy that bawls and squalls a lot on television would pray with me. I wonder if there's anything to what he said. You know, I saw a lot of men on there. I saw old Larry Seymour on there. I saw old Tim Gray on there. I saw a lot of these guys, old Dominic Pecoraro. I saw old Rip Mikkei on there. I saw these guys on there. I wonder if there's anything really to that. Well, he has nothing else to turn to. He has no choice but to come and see. And when he comes and sees, he'll find it to be real. And God will not disappoint him. And he'll be swept into the kingdom. There will be. This will be one of the ways the harvest will be hastened. And I'm fixing to close. Jesus Christ is coming. But he's not going to come and leave all this harvest. All this harvest about to spoil. Are you listening in the balcony everywhere? Are you listening to me? I'm a farm boy. When the farmer begins to get reports that bad weather is brewing, midnight is as good to him as high noon. He never stops till the harvest is in. Amen. God is not going to let this harvest that is so ripe go to waste. And yet I believe that Jesus is coming soon. What's happening in the East at this present time? What's happening with the meeting of these leaders and all? It's setting the stage. It's setting the pattern. It's getting everything set for the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. Amen. 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 The storm clouds will begin to brew. And when the storms begin to blow, the winds begin to blow, it's going to cause people to begin to panic in their own situations. And you know what I think is going to be the difference? Now, I'm not talking about a financial crisis. I'm not talking about this. I think it's going to be a different kind of thing. In the 1930s, they tell me that businessmen jumped to their death by the scores. I wasn't living then. I don't know. They tell me that. They tell me that people panicked around the world. It's going to be a different type of thing this time. You know why? In the 1930s, they didn't have a Pat Robertson. They didn't have a Jim Baker. They didn't have Jimmy Swaggart. They didn't have Rex Humbard. They didn't have a lot of these men that preach a good gospel message that tells about Jesus. They didn't have them. I think the greatest harvest of souls the world has ever known will come in hours before Jesus bursts the clouds of glory. Amen. And I think there will come a crisis. And I think that's going to be the determining factor of whether we'll have to answer for the blood of men or not, is whether we have kept that door open and kept that gospel going out there. So when that old boy is about to drown, he knows where to turn to find help. He's listened and he's heard. I believe that. If I never preach another sermon, let it go on record that I believe the greatest revival the world's ever known, the greatest altar call, the greatest ingathering of souls, the most people that will be saved in any 24-hour period will be saved the 24-hour period just before Jesus Christ bursts the clouds of glory to receive the church unto himself. I believe men will literally fall upon their faces in the streets. I believe men will literally fall on their faces in motel rooms. I believe they'll fall on their faces in their businesses. I believe they'll cry out to God everywhere. I think that kind of a crisis is going to come. Somewhere the pride of humanity has got to be broken, and many men today would turn to Jesus, but their pride won't let them. But when you're stripped of everything you have, and I'm not talking about financially again, I believe it's going to be some other way. I don't know what to tell you other than I just believe it's going to be another way other than financially. I think it's going to come in another realm. But I think men in desperation are going to cry out to God, and literally masses of people are going to be brought into the kingdom in the closing hours of time. And whether Gorman is responsible for the blood of this city or not will depend upon how faithful I've been to walk through the doors that he's opened for me. Whether you're responsible for the blood of this city will depend upon whether you've walked through the doors that God's given you. God's not going to call you all to preach. He's not going to call all of you to be teachers. He's not going to call all of you to the intercessory prayer group. But he's calling all of you to prayer, to dedicated living, and he'll place you within a realm that you'll be able to support the ministry and to uphold the ministry with your prayers and your love, that it can go forth and reach our generation. I believe we're rubbing shoulders with people who will be left here to go through the tribulation period, or either will go in the rapture of the church. I believe that. Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet Jesus? Are you ready? Are you walking through the doors that God has opened unto you? I'm going to close the message by asking you a question. How many of you would like to say to the Lord this morning, Father, by your help, I'm going to walk through every door that's open to me. I'm not going to give up. And by your help, when next year comes to a close, I'm going to have at least one person that I can point to and say, that person I was, I stuck with them, and I helped them to come established, and they're in the church. I'm going to walk through that door. Some of you, God is challenging in many ways. I know you've got many adversaries, and time does not permit for me to get on that. You've got many adversaries. You've got much opposition. But you're going to have to make up your mind that I am going to walk through the doors that God has set before me. I'm going to walk through those doors. I'm going to reach people. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to fulfill what God has laid upon my heart for me to fulfill. Will you bow your heads with me, please?